This episode of the Lock is Lit podcast is sponsored by Wizard Amusement and Comet Pinball. Need some awesome custom shooter rods? Check out www.wizardamusement.com. And for all of your pinball LED needs, www.cometpinball.com is the place to go. And now, on with the show.
From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future. Adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents...
The Lock is Lit Podcast.
Lock is Lit Podcast. Here are your hosts, Mark and Rick.
Hello, and welcome to a special bonus edition of the Lock is Lit Podcast. I'm your host, Mark, and notably absent this evening is my co-host, Rick Taylor. And the reason for that is I did not plan on recording anything tonight. What has happened, we took a trip last weekend to Pennsylvania to pick up a pin, and we decided we needed to do a show and get back into the podcast swing of things, so to speak. So we're going to record a show hopefully this weekend, but I came out to the studio slash outbuilding slash pinball arcade slash motorcycle garage to basically hook everything back up, the recording gear, and get everything set up for our recording the next show this weekend. And while I was doing that, testing everything out, I thought, well, let me go ahead and record something, because I've always had this idea. Let me take you back a little bit. One of the things I like about other podcasts is when they do a show that they tell basically how they make the show, what gear they use, how they go about it, etc. So in the back of my mind, I've been wanting to do a show, a little short show, just to kind of explain how we do the show, what we use. And, you know, maybe someone will find it helpful. I got the idea to get into podcasting via a friend of mine who does a wonderful show called You Don't Know Flack. He also does a bunch of other shows. He guests on shows. His name is Rob Flack O'Hara. And he did a show for the You Don't Know Flack. He did a You Don't Know Flack show a while back that basically told you how to get into podcasting. And I found it very interesting because I had really no idea how to get into it, how to go about it. And he basically said, you know, if you have a topic that you are passionate about and you have some basic sound equipment gear and a computer, you can make a show and people will listen. Your show may suck, as of course ours does, but people will listen, and they apparently do. So that got me thinking, well, let's make a show because we both collect pinball machines, and we really suck at maintaining them, although we try. So I thought, well, if we can make a show that documents us screwing up trying to keep these things alive, you know, maybe someone will benefit from our mistakes. And so that's how the idea for the show came around. And I'm not going to say that we have dedicated the show solely to telling you how to fix and repair your pinball, but it's been one of the underlying themes that we've tried to keep in the show. And I hope that people have found some use out of that. They may have not, and that's fine. For all I know, there could be robots that download the show every month. Who knows? But we have a good time doing it, and we haven't done one in a while. A long while, actually, due to various things, which we'll get into that, the reasons why, in the next show that we record this weekend, hopefully. But anyways, I thought, well, I think it'd be cool to do a little show just to tell people how we do the show. And I don't know if we do the show any differently than other people do. I have no idea. But I know that when I first started doing the show, the one thing that used to really kill me was the editing process. We would record a show, and after the show was recorded, well, how we used to do that when we first started, I'll tell you a little bit about that. We both, Rick and I, went and bought a Blue Yeti microphone. Now, the Blue Yeti is a microphone that a lot of podcasters use. It sounds fantastic. It's very simple. It's USB. You plug it into the computer, and you're good to go. And we used a program called Audacity to record with. Audacity is a free program. It works great. It's easy to use as far as editing. And what we would do would be, I would call Rick over Skype, and he would have his Blue Yeti in his computer, and I would have mine in mine. And we would record basically two audio tracks, my part and his part. And the one thing you do when you do that, that we learned from Flack, and there was a lot of other people that use this as well, is you basically do a countdown. Like, each of you will say, okay, we're ready to record. So 3, 2, 1, and then you clap. So what you do after we would record the show, Rick would upload his audio file to my Google Drive account. And I think having a Drive account or some cloud storage account is fantastic for podcasts. That allows you to have a centralized hub where you can upload show ideas, show outlines, etc., and anybody can access it from anywhere. So it makes collaborating a lot simpler. So he would upload his audio file to the Drive account. I would download that and then load both of them into Audacity. And what you do is you line up the clap. And once you have the clap lined up, then you know that both audio tracks are in sync. So you do that, and then you end up going through and you edit out all the pops and the mistakes and the long pauses, etc., etc. It ended up taking me about 2 to 3 hours to edit a 45-minute show. And I'm not saying I hated that part of doing the show, but I didn't like it much. So I thought there's got to be a better way to do this. So as luck would have it, we have a very good friend. You may have heard him on the show. His name is Gene Wills. And he used to have a music store, a music business. And as luck would have it, he has some leftover stock from that music business. So he donated us some proper studio microphones and a little 4-channel mixer. Now, I knew nothing about mixers, and I still don't know much about mixers, but I got it to work enough to where we could record with it. And what that allowed us to do was set up 2 microphones, have Rick come over, and we could just sit around, you know, and talk like we usually do and talk pinball. And I found that, and I think he did too, to be a much more relaxed way to do the show. The chemistry seemed to be better. It just seemed to work. And it was also fun because, you know, hey, you invite your friends over, have a bite of pizza or whatever, and just talk pinball and you record it. And so you kind of feed off each other better. And I think the show was much better from that point on. I forget the actual episode where we started doing that, maybe around episode 3 or 4. But anyways, after that, it became much more enjoyable. I still had a lot of editing to do because you have to edit in your opening sounds, your title, any commercials you want, your sponsors, you know, and it still took a long time for me to do that. So what I eventually ended up doing was I thought, you know, I listen to a lot of live radio shows. And those are not edited. I mean, you're listening to them live, so they do have mistakes in them, slip-ups, and sometimes bad sound quality. But it also kind of makes the show, in my mind, a little bit more real. So I said, well, there's got to be a way that we can do something like that in one take. And I also, one of the other things I like to mess around with is music on the computer. And I have this thing called an Ableton Launchpad, which basically, not to get into too much technical detail, but it's basically a soundboard. It has 64 pads or buttons, you say buttons, on it. And you can load MP3 files, WAV files, whatever sound you want to, into each button. And I thought, well, this could be used for the podcast. And so that gave me an idea that I could do the entire show completely live. And that's what we started to do. I would assign like my sponsor, the opening sponsor message onto one button. I would assign the our title sequence onto one button. Any commercials had their own button. And so basically, you know, we're sitting, you know, in the studio here, just talking away. We decide to record a show, and I just hit record. I hit our sponsor opening, let that play. I hit our opening title sequence, let that play. We talk, and while I'm recording, I can throw in any commercials, any sound effects that I have loaded into it. And then once you're done, you can, and I have done this, you can just, as soon as you're done recording, you just upload the file straight online. No editing involved. And it works great. I like this method a lot better because if you have like a video or some sound clip that you want to play during your show, you load it in there, you can play it. And while you're playing it, you know, everybody that's on the show, like Rick and I, can hear the sound playing. And then we can, you know, everything is live. And it just works, in my mind, much better. And like I said, there has been times where I thought the show sounded okay, and as soon as we were done recording, I uploaded it immediately. There have been other times where I've edited some stuff, but in general, what used to take me, I don't know, a couple hours to edit has now taken me maybe 15 minutes, 30 minutes at the most, if there's bad problems in the recording or something like that. So it's really streamlined how we record. Now, I don't know if the show is any better. I don't know if the show can get any better, but it is a lot more fun to do it this way. And what I eventually decided to do, well, I'll tell you why. The past couple shows that we have done, I don't know if you've heard, I know I can hear it plain as day and it drives me nuts, is that my laptop fan kicks in like full gear. And the laptop is getting old and it gets hot. And no matter what we tried to do, you could always hear that laptop fan noise. And so I thought, well, there's got to be a better way to do this to where I don't have to have the laptop around. So what I ended up doing, instead of recording everything into Audacity, I went and got me a little Tascam DR05 portable recorder. And what that allows me to do is just plug the output of the mixer straight into this thing, hit record, and it records straight into this, no computer needed. And I like this a lot better in that it seems to be a lot more secure and reliable method of recording. There were a couple of times where the recording would mess up on the computer and I wouldn't know till we were done with the show, etc. So this, you know, I can see it recording and it's recording to an SD card and it just seems like a much more secure way to do it. And plus, I don't have the computer to contend with. The problem with not having the computer to contend with was that I could no longer use my launch pad. So what I found was a program on the Play Store. I have an Android tablet. And there's a cool program on the Play Store. There's probably more than one. But the one I use is called Custom Soundboard. And that's basically what it is. It's like a launch pad for the tablet. Well, not really a launch pad, but it's a soundboard. You load your sounds into the tablet, and each sound has its own button. So you can play the sounds just like I did with the launch pad, but you completely eliminate the computer out of the recording loop. And that lets me do things with no fan noise. Now, I could have bought a laptop or whatever, but this was the cheap way to do it. And honestly, it works just as good. For instance, I can play you a commercial right now.
Hi, this is Rob Flack O'Hara. Have you ever wondered about the backwards messages hidden in music, what it's like to attend an arcade auction, or how console mod chips actually worked? These are just a few of the topics I've covered on You Don't Know Flack, my podcast about old computers, old video games, and old technology from a guy who was there and still is. If you like hearing stories about everything from emulation to my unhealthy obsession with ninjas, head over to podcast.robohara.com and check out You Don't Know Flack. You can also find You Don't Know Flack on throwbacknetwork.net. Your home for quality retro podcasts.
And so that's how that works. It's just fantastic. It's really simple. I don't know how many sounds you can load into this thing. I'm assuming quite a bit. I have our sponsor intro loaded.
This episode of the Lock is Lit podcast.
And then I have a couple different intros. I have the Gary Busey intro.
In one of my hands is something so powerful.
That one's a bit dated now. I have the X-1 intro, which I think I started this one off
from
with.
From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed.
So you can just put any sounds into that, and it works great. The only thing you have to do is to set it to where your screen never shuts off. Otherwise, your tablet will shut off in the middle of your recording, and then all of a sudden, you don't have your soundboard up anymore. But using that with the Tascam, I have eliminated the computer completely out of the loop. Now, I can still use the computer if I wanted to go online and do all that stuff during the show, but I don't generally do that anyways. So it's really not an issue. So that's basically what I use to record the show. The only thing I will briefly mention, I don't really want to get into it because it can be a headache, but just finding some place to put your podcast online. I use Libsyn, which a lot of people use. It's a podcasting hosting site. I think their starter plan is like $5 a month. And there's free places you can put your podcast up, like archive.org, which is a fantastic resource, not just for podcasts, but for anything like print media. They have a whole section devoted to old video games you can play right through your browser. It's basically like a huge library, if you will, just a depository of stuff. And so you can throw your podcast files onto there. I started to do that and tried it when we first started the show. And although it does work, and I have since put all of our shows on archive.org just to have some place where they'll be if anybody ever wanted to listen to them long after we were passed away or something, which I doubt. But anyways, I try them and it works okay. But I like places like Libsyn because they give you statistics on how many shows have been downloaded per month. I get information on where the shows are downloaded from, like what state, what country. It'll even tell me, you know, what people are using, whether they're using iTunes, Stitcher, etc. So that to me was worth the $5 a month. And they have other plans which will give you more storage space to upload your shows to. You have unlimited bandwidth, so people can download your show as much as they want. And there won't be any extra fees there. So I like Libsyn a lot. There's a ton of other places. I think Audio Boom is one. I don't know if any of them's any better than any of the other ones. I know that Libsyn was a popular one. That's what I chose. I have no problems with it. It works great. We also have a website up at lockislitpodcast.com, which in this day and age, you don't really even need that. You can set up a Facebook page, which we have, and that's generally all you need. You just need some way to keep in touch with your listeners, someplace they can go to contact you, etc. We have a Twitter page, and as Rick will tell you, we don't get much action on Twitter at all, but we have one set up. And we also have an email, feedback@lockislitpodcast.com, and we do get emails on that from time to time, feedback, comments, etc. So that's really all that we do as far as the show goes. Some places, like I know Flack has got a voicemail that you can call and leave voicemails. We have one. I don't really have it set up. You can do that through Google Voice, and that's kind of a cool idea. I know Ferg, who does the 2600 Game by Game podcast, which is another fantastic podcast, he has one set up where he can take voice comments as well as email. And he plays those, and that's a really cool idea, and we may look into doing that. Podcasting is like anything else. You can make it as expensive as you want it to be. I know when I first started out, there was a podcast I listened to, and I can't think of the name of it, which is probably good because it was horrible. It was basically a how-to podcasting podcast, which you would think would be great. But what this guy was doing was he was actually charging you money if you wanted to listen to the important how-to podcast shows. And he would recommend stuff like $500 mics and $600 mixing boards, all these high-end mic stands. I mean, you'd have to have a couple thousand bucks to even get started, according to him. He did not like USB mics. He said the sound quality was horrible, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it was just, I just hated it because I thought, you know, people that are starting out are not going to want this. And nobody needs it, to be honest. You can get a USB mic. Doesn't have to be a Yeti. It can be a little Rock Band mic, which I have used those. Any little Logitech mic, plug it into your USB port of your computer, download Audacity, and you're podcasting. The only thing I will say is just to make sure that you're talking about something that you are passionate about, that you want to talk about, that you enjoy talking about, and you will find an audience. I honestly believe that you could do a podcast on paint, and you would have an audience of people that wanted to talk about paint. Do you like latex? Do you like acrylic? Do you like enamel? Blah, 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 blah. So, you know, anything is out there, and it seems to be that podcasts are really, really making, I'm not going to say a comeback, but they are really gaining popularity. I'm starting to see podcasts mentioned in local news websites, and here in West Virginia, in the Beckley area, it's not a big town. And so to see something like that just amazes me. And you start seeing it more and more in the news, podcast this, podcast that. And it's just amazing. I've always loved podcasts. I listen to them daily. Rick and I both, our job, we work at a desk and we have the luxury that we can listen to podcasts while we work. So, you know, 8 hours a day, I'm listening to podcasts. There's a lot that I love to listen to. I love Flack's podcast. You Don't Know Flack. I like the Atari 2600 Game by Game podcast. I used to love No Quarter. That was a fantastic show. There's just so many out there. A lot of people use iTunes to find podcasts. There's a program called Podcast Addict for Android that you can search podcasts. And it's just, you know, it seems to be exploding in popularity, and it's a fantastic thing. I like to talk. I don't make a lot of sense sometimes. I say a lot, which annoys me. But I have a fun time recording it. I have a fun time listening to them. So if you're interested in doing a podcast, you can't do any worse than we're doing. So get your microphone, get your computer, download Audacity, and just start talking. I guarantee you'll find an audience, and I guarantee you will have a blast doing it. And that's all I've got. So Rick will be back hopefully this weekend. We'll have an actual pinball show recorded. And until then, see ya.
You've been listening to the Lock Is Lit podcast. To send us questions or comments, email us at feedback@lockislitpodcast.com or check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/lockislit. We are also on Twitter @lockislitshow. The Lock Is Lit podcast is a proud member of the Throwback Network. Get your retro podcast fix at www.throwbacknetwork.net. This outro brought to you by the World of Retro podcast, the place that brings back good old-fashioned insert coin fun.